You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. May the 9th, 2016. It's, what is it? Oh, it's just nearly, just about 5 o'clock PST. It's, eight Eastern and, 1 AM in, British Standard Time, BST, in the UK. This is JP. Good afternoon. Good evening. However are you all? It seems that this is Pyramid Week. And pyramids being one of my favorite subjects, I'd like to talk about pyramids. Maybe I should just talk about it where, you know, where I started with pyramids. Yeah, that might be a good thing. Yeah. And, but before that, I need a cup of tea. In the last show, I was just, producing for Sean, and he was talking about the near-death experience from Saturday Night Live. So, for those of you who don't generally get Saturday Night Live, I'm gonna play it now. So this is the near-death experience sketch from, SNL. Enjoy.
We know you've been through a lot this past week, and we appreciate you being here.
Yes, the fact that you three were all technically dead for 55 minutes makes your near-death experience of great interest to the scientific community.
This is nuts, man. I mean, we were just gal pals on a road trip who took a wrong turn into a lake, and, like, now we're medical miracles.
Indeed. Now, after your car became submerged and you lost consciousness, what was your first lucid memory?
My soul was gently lifted out of my body by, like, a beautiful glowing being, and it said, "I am your guardian angel. You are safe with me." And then we just floated up out of the car into the sky.
Same here. My angel said, "Take my hand, dear child." We floated up pretty high, but I wasn't scared. I felt, like, infused with this warm, loving energy.
And you, Miss Rafferty?
Yeah, similar concept, different execution. My angel said, "I'm Keith, hold on." And then he violently yanked my soul up out of my body by the waistband of my sweatpants.
And did you also feel a loving energy?
No. What I mostly felt was the pinching of an epic lady wedge. Because I was being frickin' airlifted by the crotch of my sweatpants, and it was jacked up into my cuckoo.
I see. And this all occurred while you were floating?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a float. Keith would ratchet us into the air in quick 5-foot spurts followed by sudden stops. I don't think I was rolling with the employee of the month.
I see. Now, after you left your bodies, what happened next?
I was in a tunnel, and at the end was a bright glow, like, beckoning me forward. I drifted to the light with my angel. I don't know, it felt like I was going, like, home.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds corny, but the closer I got to the light, the more my heart filled with love.
What? These two Cinderellas are going to the ball. We will cut to my tunnel, which is a 6-mile-long steep slope that Keith made me run down in flip-flops. And now, mind you, my sweats were so stretched out they kept falling off, so I just had to kick them off. And now I'm full Donald Ducking it, and I'm hoping down a 45-degree decline with my fun bun and mud gun hanging out, plain view.
Now, what occurred when you all reached the end of this tunnel?
In the light, I saw my mama. She said, "I'm always with you, baby." I hugged her and just never wanted to let go.
I saw my granddaddy. He took my hand. He didn't say anything. He just smiled and happy cried. Words can't describe how amazing it was.
Well, again, I stray from the pack here, so I get into my light. and out come thousands of dogs. All sizes, all breeds, just dogs just running around playing and yapping and nipping at each other. And I'm sporting no pants, remember? So I'm fighting off a gaggle of cold snouts, trying to sniff my drainer and my stainer. Look, at least somebody's interested, right?
And now, do dogs have a special significance in your life?
No. I think Keith Botchett sent me to dog heaven. By this point, it was pretty clear Keith was learning on the job.
Do any of you remember the moment that you essentially came back to life?
Yeah. My angel said to me, "It is not your time," and then cradled me like a baby, took me back down, and gently placed my soul back into my body.
Yeah, it felt like being tucked into bed by your mama.
Okay, now I am actually a little ticked off. My angel jammed my soul into my body like it was shoving a carry-on into a crowded overhead bin. I was like, "Keith, Bud, maybe come up with a different game plan here." And he was like, no, I can make it fit. And then he was using his elbows and jamming on my soul.
Now, why do you think it was so difficult?
All right, well, my theory is this. Keith accidentally grabbed one of the dead dog souls and stuffed it into my body, because I'm pretty sure the soul of a Scottish Terrier has set up shop in my right knocker.
What is it that makes you think that?
Well, whenever the doorbell rings, my knocker goes crazy. It's like, it's like this.
Well, now, why didn't you just demonstrate on yourself?
I didn't want to wake him up.
Well, this is all very fascinating. Now, if you'll follow me, we'd like to do some light brain mapping.
All right, let's just make it quick, because I think someone's up now. Sit. Sit.
So there you go. As long as I managed to cancel the automatic play. So there's the little skit from Saturday Night Live. I love those little, the routines that they do when they're, you know, two of them get the La La Land, and one of them gets like the real deal, like people that we listen to, who have, you know, people that come on, the shows and, talk about their experiences, their My Loves and everything. But, very much like that, very funny lady. Yeah. Very, very good. Anyway, yes. So, good afternoon, everybody. Oh, God, don't know. Please don't talk about the steak knife. No, not the steak knife, the Bobbitt deal. No, none of that. Having enough trouble dealing with the circumcision just brings it all to home. Anyway, so listen, I don't want to talk about penises. I want to talk about pyramids. Yeah, I don't know. Same rhythm. Anyway, really, you know, there's so much to talk about pyramids, and you can really get going. Now, obviously, Sean's approach is very much of this, the meaning of the lengths of the various things and how that they may relate to great cycles. They may relate to great cycles and all that sort of stuff. Here's the thing. Has anybody thought that they might like to build themselves a pyramid? That would be a really good approach, because there's so many things you can do with pyramids. I won't overload you. I mean, there are so many things you can do and so many things you can build, and it depends on your skill level. But I have to say, if you do engage in building a pyramid, it will enhance your spiritual connection. It does some really good things for you and for perhaps the people that help you or the people around you. When you actually decide you're going to build a pyramid, One of the first things you're going to need to know is, you know, what materials do I have to make out of? Once you've gotten the, you know, basic material that you're going to use, you then need to know how you're going to join it. Cause you're going to need to make complex joints. Because you know, it's not simple. It's really not simple, but it's possible. And do you remember that stuff in school that they taught you, you'd think you'd never use? Well, when you build a pyramid, you do. You know, the stuff like geometry and, what's the other stuff? Not calculus. No. I don't think you need calculus when building pyramids. What do you think, anybody? Yeah. Hang on a second. Nighthawks Publishing thing. Yeah. White Trash Abductions, yes. That's the one. Cinderella, that's the, White Trash Abductions. Making one out of crochet. Interesting. Yes. So yeah, once you decide what your materials are going to be, you're then going to need to talk about dimensions. You know, how big is it going to be? And, one of the, you know, obviously limitations, if you're going to make it out of copper tube, you can't really make it out of, you know, make it bigger than 10 feet. And you wouldn't want to, because by about seven, if you're using standard half inch copper tubing, like what you get around the house, household, central heating tubing and water pipe and all that stuff, which is known as half inch, which I think it means it's got a half inch inner diameter, 15 mil outside, and that's a 1 millimeter thick, tube, if you use that, it tends to sag if it gets, once it starts getting beyond 6 feet on a run. I've often thought about this, you know, how to kind of, stanchion it up a bit, make it a bit more sturdy, without making it heavier. Here's the thing, you know. And I thought, you know, even having an extruded aluminium insert that pushes right down the middle. But, then you have to talk about materials and why you don't want to use aluminium in a pyramid. Yeah, algebra. That's the one. Algebra is the one. Yeah, because everybody says, well, you know, who needs algebra? Algebra. You need, you'd be able to do the, sine and cosine calculations. But actually, once you've done them once, and I have to say that I did these pyramid calculations in 1994, I think. And I went right down to the bottom of exactly why. And all the geometry and how it relates to the squaring of the circle, which is a temple building thing. I'll go through that in a minute. When I research things, I tend to go all the way as far as I can back to find out the oldest information, the most original information. Anyway, so to get the, Why is the pyramid the way it is? And it's all to do with geometry. And this particular geometry is blending geometry, and it's blending the masculine square and the feminine circle, because it's a temple, and a temple is a place where male and female meet. Well, true temples are anyway. You know, it's like a neutral ground where both are honored and respected. Unlike men's clubs or women's clubs or these separative clubs. So a temple is a place where the male and female meet. So you have to have a representative of the male, that's the square, and you have a representative of the female, which is the circle. Now, in your inner 3D geometry building, set, if you can take a square, and let's make it easy, right? You take a square on 9 inches on a side. And, that's the base of your pyramid. Okay. So it's a square, 9 inches on each side. And that makes a perimeter of 36 inches. If you then take a rod 36 inches long and bend it round into a circle and weld it together to make a hoop. And you place one on top of the other, you get what's called this circle squared. Okay, so this is the first step in building a pyramid, is you square the circle. That's where that phrase comes from. Okay, so what that means is you've got the same perimeter, and perhaps I think you've got a slightly larger area with the circle. Oh, that's Mona. What's Mona going to say? Dr. Gordon Star Tetrahedron. All right. Okay, but I can't do a video. Come and talk to me, Mona. Oh, better than talk to you. Better than invite. So, Springer. So you square the circle. And then here's the thing. This is how you get the pyramid, okay? And this is, maybe nobody knows this. Maybe everybody could figure this out. But this is what I figured out. That instead of it being a circle, it's a sphere. And instead of it being a pyramid, well, yeah, that's fine. It's a sphere. So, the point, there you are. The point where the top of the sphere is, or the top of the circle, or the top of the dome, right at that point, that's the top of the pyramid. And that's how you make the pyramid. It's not a 45 degree thing, it's a 51 degree thing, and it is the relationship of the circle and the square. So, I'd like to welcome Mona Radler. How are you? Pyramids.
I love the number 3 too, though.
Oh, threes as well. Yes, threes are good. Threes are good. Ebony's are good.
But aren't the ones in Egypt a 4 base and not a 3 base?
Yeah. Look, it's not a pyramid if it's a 3 base. It's a tetrahedron.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get the terminology right. Here, I've got one here. You can actually see it on my picture here. If you're looking at my picture on Skype, I've actually made a copper a copper tetrahedron. That's what you're seeing in front of the camera here, on the picture. You see?
Well, see, I have a shungite one in front of me.
Yeah,
in
well,
my hand, actually.
I'm surrounded by shungite pyramids. I now picked up, what's this, a 70 millimeter one, and I've got a 25 millimeter or 30 millimeter one over there. Yeah. So pyramids. What's your experience, Mona? Did you build them in the 70s with your hippie friends?
No.
No?
It's always been an assumption that I've been a hippie.
Well, you know, you profess that I'm a hippie, you know, so have you been a hippie since you, I was a hippie before you were a hippie? I was a punk
before you. Actually, I got to help watch and build a tetrahedron as a play gym for children. It was one of the most amazing things to watch. I'll have to put that link to my Facebook. Because it is. It's such an art, and it takes a precise kind of letting go, but letting it build itself. I did one out of copper, but mine's by strands, not sheets like yours was.
All right. Well, mine is made from copper tubing. You know, like what water travels in, you know, in the house. When they make a house, they bend, and plumbers come in, and they do their thing with the lead. Yeah, the stuff that they work with is copper tubing, but... So let's talk about materials. Right?
So you flattened it out?
No. Well, at the ends, yeah. Well, it depends. Actually, there were two styles I made. There was one really hyper complex one, right? And that had that wasn't just a pyramid. That had octahedrons, like small pairs of pyramids back to back on each corner.
Cool.
And that one was dismantleable, so I put little pins in the end, and you could like bayonet the tubes in. But like I say, you know, the bigger they get, the more floppy the copper, because it's, you know, copper's pretty floppy. It's not like steel or anything.
Yeah, it's a soft metal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine was the last one I built was finally destroyed by a bunch of cows walking into the garden and just trampling it because it was like butter to them. So.
Permanent.
Yeah, not permanent enough. Well, you know, the fence wasn't permanent. they shouldn't have been there. They destroyed it, you know. But anywho, when I was the first pyramid that I made was using the octahedrons, and I was using a blowtorch and pipe fittings and oxyacetylene welding. And
what is your moon?
My moon is in Aries, conjunct with my Venus.
Because you're definitely determined without considering it.
I tend to, you know, if somebody points me in a direction, I'll get to the end of it. You know, I always get to the end of the path, no matter what, mentally or physically, I'll take you there. You want to go? Okay. I'll taxi drive to the end of the road.
I would do more mine out of paper and toothpicks.
All right. Well, no, this was
a soldering iron.
Well, this was my spiritual teacher, and he wanted this thing, you know, this was like to protect him against negative entities. So I had to be, you know, pretty cautious in building a decent thing.
Oh, well, yeah, man. That's pure alchemy. People don't recognize that.
I'll tell you. He had these amazing designs. So one of the things that I made, is I made a jig to make small pyramids. So, you make welding wire, you cut welding wire to the length and sit it in this little steel plate template that I had the four pieces. So I would make a perfect square. And then I had another template that was like it was like another pyramid, but the edges were grooves, and you lay the rods again. You have to really cut them very accurately,
right?
Even you know, to the millimeter, to the tenth of the millimeter. You have to cut them and saw them and grind them just before you even weld them. They have to be really well prepared, and then you zip the top, and that makes a little sort of pyramid legs, and then you meet the two together.
Neat.
So I made, several, well, there was one thing they said, right, I need 50. I was like, yeah, what? So anyway, I made 50, it took a few days, as you might imagine. And then he said, right, okay, take 7 of them, and string them in an arc.
Interesting.
And, join them together. So you lay them all flat, like 7 pyramids all in a row. And then you solder them together so that it makes one long stick. And then you take piano wire, which is like a strong, thick wire that doesn't break, and you make like a bow kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How big again were these?
These are 9 inches on a side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So let's just...
Whoa.
Yeah. So... You got, what is it, 9 inches times 7, what's that, like 5 foot something or something. And then, you then bend that round, like in an arc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you mount that standing upwards. Okay. So basically you've got 7 pyramids. And if you imagine inside each pyramid is like a vortex. There's a spinning thing that is directly from the top down through the middle of it. All right. Neat. So if you're now bending 7 of them towards you, you're focusing 7 of these vortices together like a satellite dish.
Interesting.
Okay. And I set one of these up on each of the 4 sides of the pyramid. And on the top of the pyramid, there were 4 pyramids that were arranged as a cube. So 4 pyramids, say, standing up, like standing on their side, on on one of their edges, and then soldered together so that they're like a cube with the 4 points sticking outwards. Yeah? And then you have another one on top.
Whoa.
Okay? You set that on top of your pyramid, on top of a copper capstone.
Oh, that wasn't the capstone.
That goes on top of the capstone.
Okay, then.
Okay. And then, when you sit in it, there is no way you can have a negative thought. And
what
so,
do you think of the Don Vonnegut idea, the different levels of the layers of degrees of the energy with that vortex?
I have no idea.
Is it all parallel, or is it vertical, or just spiral all the time?
How do you mean?
Well, I read the Chariot of the Gods and what it was said about the different levels and how the razor blade stayed sharp if it was like a third of the way up. And it
oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. So the reason for that is, do you play guitar?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay. Well, that's no good.
But I tried it one time, so I know what a guitar is.
Okay. So, you know, have you ever gone to a guitar and, very lightly touched the strings at certain places and they kind of ring in a harmonic way? In fact, they're called harmonics. Yeah. You've seen that.
Oh yeah. Acoustically and electronically.
Okay. So here's the thing. If you take a string, say, and you cause it to harmonically vibrate and you damp it at the exact central point of the string, the string will then start singing the first harmonic, which is the octave. You know that?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you divide the string by two and you get the octave. Now, on a guitar, it is the seventh fret. If you go to the seventh fret of a guitar and you pluck the harmonic there, what you're doing is you're then dividing the string into three parts. Oh. It's geometric. It's really simple. So you get harmonics at the half point and harmonics at the third point. Okay? That's the first and second harmonics. So they're geometrically related between the two and the three. Between the square and the circle.
Cool.
That's the meaning of 23.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there is your, okay, so we got, where are we?
You put the capstone on.
Oh yeah, so you got, so this little device I built for him, was to enable him to, you know, basically battle the darkest demons and still stay cheerful. Because you have to be cheerful. You have to give them the greatest love and levity, you know, when you're dealing with these things. If you get serious, then you get sucked down. So he said that these were Leviton generators.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't know what he was talking about, but not because I was just making pyramids, you know, making hundreds of pyramids. Ah. But
did I pass the test?
Well, you know, it wasn't really a test. It was like, I need these things. Just build them for me. Yeah. So at the time, my girlfriend came in, who became my wife and mother of my child. But at that time, so I was working in this garage space, and then she came in, and I had this thing, the first one of them, set up. You remember I said that you set up seven pyramids in an arc, right? So
right.
It's like a satellite dish, so it focuses the energy. And my teacher said, this is a Leviton generator. So, I don't know, what's a Leviton? Who knows? But you know what she did? She walked right into the beam of it, and she said, oh, wow, Jeremy, I didn't know. For some reason, I feel like jumping for joy.
Aww.
No kidding. She totally spontaneously said that. So she was literally in the path of a Leviton beam, and that's what it does. It makes you feel so joyful that you feel like jumping for joy. Imagine one of those. Imagine sleeping with one of those.
I'm imagining big enough ones to cancel out the secret guys that are pushing all the energies against us.
Mm. Well, maybe.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe all the pyramids all around the world are doing exactly the same thing. So anyway, if you want to...
But even if we can just envision this, JP,
yeah.
You know that the energies can enforce it to actually happen. So if we build it in our head and keep on walking, just think we're making tunnels of them. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, well, look, there you go. So the Leviton generator, seven pyramids in an arc with the points pointing outwards and the buttons pointing inwards. Now.
Day ever. I worked 11 hours like a slave. Are you on the radio?
Yes, we're on the radio, Karen. Happy birthday, Karen.
He's JP. You want to say hi? Do you want to say your day?
No, it's the worst birthday ever.
Oh, I'm sure we can make it better.
I got sent home early after 11 hours. For being on the phone too much. When I was working while I was on the phone.
Meanwhile, she needs a Leviton generator.
She needs a Leviton generator.
Point one at her in your mind, Mona. See if it works. she'll get over it.
She can have some carrot cake.
Yeah, have something with sugar in it. She'll feel better.
What? I gotta win the lottery so she can quit working and I can start doing shows. You know, my tote bag and copper shows. But anyway, I love the idea of the pyramids and the other things of that nature. Just to the idea, like you were saying, the dimensions. That's why I asked you about the different levels, because
yes, right. Okay, so we haven't finished. Below, we haven't finished yet. Because it really does tie up with this guitar thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
And the arch.
What they discovered was that if you took a pyramid, and you remember like I was saying, like at the corners there were octahedrons. If you take another pyramid exactly the same size underneath it, pointing back to back, as it were,
mm-hmm.
you end up with a form called the octahedron. And the octahedron is, you know, of course, that's the point up and the point down of the top and bottom of the sphere. Do you remember we're talking about the sphere and the circle and all that? So,
spiral.
If you take the distance between that top point and that bottom point, and then you divide it by three, you find the king's chamber. It's a harmonic point. Yeah, I just heard that.
Well, you know, what came to mind is in the Celtic way that if you are in a maze, the best way to get out is taking three left turns. So when you said that, that's what popped into my mind. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Click, click, click.
Three left turns. So indeed, yeah, so that's the reason that you have this third, this King's Chamber position.
Hmm.
All right. So, that's where the vortex is harmonically resonating at the perfect fifth. Okay, that's what the harmonic is called, the perfect fifth. And you know, when you have, I mean, it's the basic. It's the first. It's like a chord. You know, which you have.
Well, I was going to ask singers. You: is it a bass center kind of thing? Is it usually always there in each song?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Every song, mm-hmm. it's the resolution of every song. Yeah. Okay. You know, so you got like the blues 12 bar. So it's the one where it all kind of, it's where it drops back, you know, just before the whole cycle starts again, it drops down to this note that is very satisfying. That's the fifth. Cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's the resolution that sometimes a songwriter might hold back a little bit and you think it's going to resolve and it doesn't. And then it goes to another chord and then it resolves and it finally, you feel, and it relaxes the tension again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the perfect fifth. My perfect cousin. So, they're all talking about cats now. My next door neighbors, they got a cat and then they went away and they phoned me up today. Oh, could you feed the cat? It's all right.
Oh, jeez. After the fact.
After
right?
the fact. Oh, yeah, we forgot about the cat. Oh, poor the cat. Yeah.
Mm. After the fact.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a rather traumatized looking cat next door, but I managed to say hello to him, and I think it's a him. Could be a her. Maybe it's not a him anymore. Maybe.
That was really sad about what happened with Sean David Morton's kitten, and it's true. We don't recognize what we're doing to our babies, and by the law of the structure, we're denying the nurturing.
You know,
we
gotta
all build these pyramids and get more joy out there. This is definitely just pathetic.
You know, that poor little kitten, I know exactly how that kitten feels because, 30 years ago I was in a intensive care unit and the same thing happened to me. I got an infection and my lungs filled up with water and I was literally drowning in my own body. And it's terrifying. Terrifying.
Oh, I don't know.
It's the worst thing you could have, that could happen to. And it's like drowning. My girlfriend made me see The Abyss a few months back. I can we stop watching this?
I love the Abyss. That was a great
Well, it just brings about
you
bad feelings.
There,
yeah, I do take drowning personally somehow. I don't know why. Just
yeah, I ended up creating a suffocation on myself. 3% oxygen. I get the drift.
Mm. So,
but it wasn't any fear, but go ahead.
Well, this, I didn't know what was going on.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely, it's a, like body going.
Yeah, it was that sort of, that shrieking sound almost, like, without hearing the sound, but you know, like
yeah,
you hear in the
know.
Movies. Anyway, back to pyramids. And so the third point, that's the point where you put your razor blades. That's the point where the resonance is greatest. That's where the flow. Now, so how does it work? How does it create?
It's a constant.
How does it sharpen a razor blade? You know, how
the
heck does this thing work
without the chaos?
Well, if you imagine, now what is it? Do you have these things? They're called cyclone vacuum cleaners.
Dyson.
Yeah, the Dyson. Yeah. So you know the Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, with the ball on the thing. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way that works is it creates
clonic.
A vortex.
It's clonic.
Well, it creates a vortex. Right? You can't see it, but right in the middle of this cylinder is creating a vortex, but you can't see it. You can only see a vortex if it's outside and it's filling up with dirt.
Honey, I've seen tornadoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a baby tornado in your Hoover. So
That's right. We
call them Hoovers, by the way. So if I say the word Hoover, I mean vacuum cleaner.
I gotcha, because we used to have them here too.
Yeah, because they're made by a Hoover company, not J. Edgar. That will transvestite. But anyway, so the cyclone, imagine that inside the pyramid, because of it's basically the compression between the square and the circle. That's what's causing the vortex. It's the tension in the geometry between these two things that are resonant, but in different, it's like one is in one polarity and one's in the other polarity. And so the tension between those polarities creates the temple. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now you got your pyramid vibration. So right in the middle is your vortex and it's drawing things in through the triangles. It's drawing a current in. And
it's
then
like
there's the
black
current.
Hole.
There is also the current of the earth itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which flows from south to north. So, if you place your pyramid exactly in the middle of the flow, south to north flow, with your vortex going on in the middle, and you place your razor blade exactly at that position, it will then take advantage of the flow going from south to north. You know, it's not going to put the flow off. It's not going to draw it in, but it's going to draw it into that vortex. And the theory goes is that because of the, on a micro nano level, right at the edge of the razor blade, the only reason the blade is blunt is because the very thin edge, it's like, imagine you've got a very thin strip of aluminium foil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just, with your finger, you can bend over the edge, can't you? It's very thin.
Right.
Right. So right at the edge of the razor blade, it's that thin and that flexible. And so what is going on is that it's softening up. I mean, on that tiny level, a level of molecules and the real very fine edge of the blade, it's just a few molecules thick and it's able to kind of, it's blowing in the wind and the wind, this magnetic wind blows it until it teases it out straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, can you get that picture?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that's how it sharpens a razor blade.
That's really cool. Because that's probably how they did a lot of other things of that nature, for how they made it so precise you couldn't even get a paper.
Oh, you know how they did that?
Things.
Oh, that's easy, and we can do that today. It's called shuttering. And the thing that we think is that you can't pour stone. And that's the only reason that we can't get this idea. So imagine that you can pour stone, and that's how the pyramids were made. So
I don't see why not.
Well, you know, you can pour concrete, can't you?
Well, but that's a different kind of comprehension of stone. But yes, I get what you're saying, Tom.
Well, look, if you leave concrete for 2,000 years, it will eventually draw in carbon dioxide.
Right.
And it will petrify. It will turn to stone.
Oh, really?
So imagine in the past you could find some way of taking granite and liquefying it somehow and then pouring it. You could easily transport your stuff and then pour it and then let it set. And over 10,000 years, it becomes stone. But it was really like a concrete composite.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a core and you actually drill into these stones that are that make up the pyramid, you find that it's not homogeneous, that there is a gravitational pull to finding the tiny microfossils at the bottom, which also lends itself to suggest that this was once a aggregate liquid medium where the microfossils settled at the bottom. Now, there's no other way that could happen. But that also explains how you could get a rock that completely perfectly fits another rock next to it without getting a piece of paper in.
No doubt.
Boom.
Exactly. They
were set into place. They were poured into place.
Well, you've seen Michael Tillinger's things about the sound and the things like that. It was stuff that is just so amazing that I really... Now, after that 3 and there 5, what's the next number? Is there another number?
Where's the 3 and the 5? Where's the 5?
Well, it's in the center there of the arch, right?
The arch.
It's on the fret of the guitar is where you said it for the 3 and the 5, for the in-between of the tone and the harmonics, right? No?
Keep going.
That's the best I can do at this time.
All right, so... All right, so harmonically you got the guitar and you put your finger, you touch your finger at the middle. Hang on, I'll just go and get the guitar. Hang on.
Because I was also thinking of the arch thing, because that's what the frets are. They're like an arch.
Here is Clarabelle too. Hang on, let's get my headphones back on. Wait a minute, Mona. Wait a minute. There we go. Here is Clarabelle too. Okay. Clarabelle is tuned to the key of 432 hertz, which is... this note here. Okay, so that's 432, for those who are wondering. Okay, so here is the open A string. Okay, the A string, interestingly... All right, so here, again, we come back to the pyramid. Because the scarab beetle has a wing beat frequency of the same as this note.
Neat.
It's also the note that the monks used to sing. Ho! It's quite easy for a baritone man to sing that. Maybe even some woman, but women generally will go the octave up there. That's 216. But anyway... But that's the note that I believe activates the crystal that... Oh, I haven't spoken about that bit yet. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
I love crystals.
Yes. What has the pyramid got to do with a great big crystal? Anyway, long story. But meanwhile, back... So here's the note. Now, if you take the string and you touch it gently, you get what's called the harmonic note. Right, this is the first harmonic, the octave, and then this is the third point, the one third along the way string. Okay. Right, and in that way, in this case, this is So this is the... Oh, it's that note. Yeah, it's the note of E, Okay, so the note of A and the note of E have a perfect geometrical relationship. Okay? There is nothing haphazard about music. It's
so
all related.
Do they have a corresponding number with that note?
Well, in when you're making scales, for instance, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just what they call the degrees of the scale, which is the number of the scale. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the fifth note in the scale, that's the E. Yeah?
Cool.
It's the same note, actually. When you press the fret and when you touch the fret. It's just an octave apart. Okay, so that's the position where the King's Chamber is. It's in that harmonic position. Now, if I were to play a blues song, like that, that bit, that's the E, this is the fifth. Again. So it's a very, very...
That was beautiful. I'm not going to say any part of that was blues, okay?
Well, that's what we call the 12 bar.
I just like that. That was good.
Yeah, that's what we call the 12 bar pattern. But just about every piece of music, even classical music, fits that pattern, those mm-hmm. chords. So it goes 1 and 5 and... No, 1 and 4 and 1 and 5. And even the 4 is harmonically related the other direction. So it's all harmonically related. There's no accidents as to why music that sounds good has a geometric relationship.
So remind me again, is it circle then square or square then circle then spiral?
I mean, these are archetypes, right?
Right.
Spiral. Spiral is how things actually manifest. Mm-hmm. Spiral is process, but square and circle are archetypes. Yeah? Spiral is a path. Whereas a square and a circle are things, aren't they?
You know what a Maltese cross is, right?
I've made several Maltese cross.
Yeah, I have them tattooed my leg.
You've got
and
a
the sacred spiral and the om sound.
Have you? All
people used to ask me, what the heck is that 33 on your leg for? Well, because I did a lot of Native American sweats, and you can't wear jewelry in that end. So I figured I'd tattoo myself, take it in with me.
I see.
And, so, yeah, I've always been into some kind of spiral effects.
Didn't people kind of stare at your bits, thinking, why is he staring at my thing? Oh, he's staring at my tattoo. Admiring
right.
your body jewelry.
Oh, I'll chase somebody down to look at their ink, okay? I love ink.
Do you have an ink unk?
No.
You haven't got
only
an unk
the
ink.
Solar plex is the solar plex. I have a solar plex, but no unk.
No, mm-mm. No unk in your trunk.
I would do the Native American totems.
You could have an unk on your trunk.
Yeah, right. No, thanks. There's none left there to tattoo. But yeah, I have a... The one I got in Eugene, Oregon was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a female artist, and her head was even tattooed. She was good. Mm-hmm. I bartered and traded for every piece of ink on me, and it's probably worth over $1,000 or so.
Well, there you go. Well done.
Except for one.
So.
But anyway. I don't have any pyramids, though. I wish I did.
No pyramids, you see. and it was really funny. You know how the three stars of the Belt of Orion represented by the three pyramids in the central part of the Giza Plateau?
Mm-hmm.
And that indeed there are other temples that represent Bellatrix, Betelgeuse, Rigel, M43L.
Machu Picchu.
Well, no, this is a Giza. This
oh,
a Giza.
Really? So there's some that, oh.
It's the shape of Orion.
Oh, that'd be
the whole complex is the shape of Orion.
Gee, I guess that's the god of Egypt then, right? Orion?
Well, that's the, all right. So here's the thing. if you were coming from outer space and you came from Orion, mm-hmm. and you look back at where you came from, and then you look on the planet, you might find a site that reflected the same shape as the place that you just came from.
Only if you knew how to decipher the symbolism. Yes, indeed.
Well, you see them on the ground. You see these bright white dots on the ground.
Well,
the pyramids were bright white dots. You could see them from space. Because you could see them from space. Because they were meant to be seen from space.
Parallel.
And so they have, so the Orion complex, mm-hmm. you know, the Giza complex is the shape of Orion because, you know, maybe they represent the Orion Council, which is another thing.
I have seen that, and they've showed top views, and the sides are not equal in,
concave.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I was trying
so
the, to
So the sides of the pyramid, not just flat planes.
Exactly.
Now, but here's the thing. That may just be a result of the key of the stone casing that used to be around the pyramid. So that it's kind of thick in the middle as a key to hold the stuff on, you know? So.
Wonder what it was made out of, huh?
Oh, it was made of limestone. It was poured and polished.
Even the key?
That's
in the chamber, the king's chamber?
No. What I'm talking about, a key. You know, if you're trying to paint on a very smooth, sheer surface, you need to put a special primer paint on.
Or you scar it.
Yeah. That's what I mean by a key.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something that holds the material on the surface.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah. Just being very precise. Anyway, Smitten. Yeah, we had a cat called Smitten. joining the cat channel. So the casing of the pyramid was bright white, and it reflected light from space, so you could see it from space. Mm-hmm. So if you were coming in from the Orion constellation, you knew where your base was. You get that?
Yeah.
That's how you find your base on Earth. Then the same with there is bases on Mars, where there are human faces, there are bases on Mars with Grey's faces, with the bases on Mars with reptilians' faces, and that's how you know where to find your base. From space. Things that
makes
can be seen
sense.
From sense. Makes sense,
doesn't
I've
it? Been a cartographer, so I get the drift completely.
Yes. Well, I did, that was one of my jobs actually, to be a digital cartographer.
I had to do it with hands and... Yeah. Pictures and actual negatives of the areas. This was when Reagan was in office. Mm. The intel one where we got locked in the room was really interesting to work on. Mm. I wish I would have known where it was. They wouldn't give you that part. Couldn't tell you. I love star charts. I really do. My girlfriend said something about how the belt of Orion should unbuckle for some reason, and that's when we know that the big, maybe Wormwood, Nubru, whoever is, whichever, is actually influencing more than what we've known to happen.
There's some biblical quote, I think, that she's stemming this from, and it's something like, who can loose the belt of Orion, or the uncluster the Pleiades, or something like that. There's some biblical quote. Somebody can pull that up and put it in the chat room.
Enoch, maybe?
I think even in your regular biblical
scriptures.
Yeah, your regular scriptures, love. I think you'll be able to find it in there. You do it.
I contradict every passage. Okay, I look through every line in between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Bhagavad Gita and Madame Blavatsky. It's like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I wasn't much of a moviegoer, literally out trying to make, I was always looking in to mm-hmm. see what was really the answers to this stuff, cause it's more fun, in my opinion. So at the top of the hour when we do that, I'll get my textrahedron and show you what I made out of copper. And see how Karen's doing for a minute, cause yeah, it is her birthday. And I made her dinner and everything, and she ended up late. And
oh, she's late for dinner, and she's all in a bad mood. No, so look.
No, she deserves better than this. Yeah. But there's no, the only thing I can do is, you know, okay, here's some, here, have a treat. So we are. So I'll be back in a few right after the
break. Okay, make sure it's nice and moist.
Oh, well, yeah. She knows how it goes. At least with the food part, huh?
So, we should be coming up to the 17:54, but we've only got plenty more minutes. So, yeah, where was putting the thing at the King's Chamber position encourages this magnetic flow to it blows in the wind, in the cosmic wind, in the cosmic magnetic wind. The edge of your razor blade flaps about and eventually ends up straight out because it's caught in the flow. And that's how it sharpens your blades. And indeed, in the 1950s, the Wilkinson Sword Company used to supply little cardboard pyramids. And you can still see them on eBay. People are selling them on eBay and things. And you can see them on the YouTube. That there was a actual razor blade company that sold these little pyramids, and they really did work. The only thing is, the company was losing money, so they stopped giving them up. Yeah. So yes, indeed, we're talking about cats, and now we have cats that look like Hitler.com is one of my favorite websites. So. Now, Mona's gone to talk to, there we go. We'll see you on the back of this. Good night.
Hey. You know, I hear that and it's like, oh, I made it back in time.
Yeah. It's like Pavlovian now.
Welcome back.
Schrodinger's cat is dead.
What happened?
Pavlov's dog killed it.
Oh, well, he didn't have enough shrooms.
So, meanwhile...
Hang on.
See, because my new Ubuntu system can do more than just play things, it can actually play YouTubes and all sorts of clever things now. I'm not always on the button where I can go... And bring the station back in. Bring everybody back into line.
There, can you see it?
What?
Hang on. A tetrahedron.
Oh, there's your tetrahedron. Uh-huh. It's got really things hanging on it.
Yeah.
What's hanging on it there, Mona?
Little tetrahedron buckyballs. And,
can you bring...
Not tetrahedron buckyballs, but one of, you know, what's her name? Nancy.
Oh, Huffins. It's Shungite Spiral.
Uh-huh.
Is that a little metal, is that a steel spiral with the Shungite inside it?
Yes, it is.
And it's springy, mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I see. So, and there at the tips of each of your, it's very rustic looking.
Very.
Very rustic, yes.
But it's done.
Straight lines, maybe not, but, you know, it's got all the stuff there, so it's got your form. And what have you got at the tips? What have you got the point?
Oh, they're just curled over.
All right. And it's made of copper, yeah?
Uh-huh.
All right. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Every form. You know, I woke up one morning, or even before I woke up, this thing was in right. my head.
Right.
I could not get this form out of my brain. And it was bugging me all day. And I was like, oh, I haven't got any sticks. I haven't got any metal. I haven't got any wood. Ah. Oh, here. I got some pipe cleaners.
I tell you,
I made a star tetrahedron from pipe cleaners, and it went away. It was like, okay, that's fine. I'm done. I'm expressed. Isn't that the weirdest thing? And this is about 14 years ago. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up one morning in my studio, I gotta get these. And this thing came, and then this woman came, and she had one made of glass. That you filled with water and you put in the sunlight and it makes rainbows all over your house.
Oh, neat.
It was a little village in Brazil were making these things. Absolutely beautiful. Eventually the stuff that glued them together started to come apart and they started, you know, just falling into little glass triangles on the floor and lots of water. Kind of like that, yeah.
It's amazing what we have not been able to be taught. That is so much that would just produce so much joy that the rest of this crap would just be gone.
Well, yeah.
Because there'd be no room for it.
You Here's know? The thing. Why not? I mean, if you're bored or if you're depressed, make yourself a pyramid. Make yourself a tetrahedron. Because I tell you, if you... Right, okay, so not, this is why it's a spiritual thing to do. Because you're manifesting something from your mind through your emotions, through your body. That's manifestation. That's the basic three step. There's actually seven steps, but it's the basic step process. And notice I come back to music because there's three chords, three notes in a chord and seven notes in the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, it all comes back to music. But when you build pyramids because of the way you have to engage your mind and your brain, which are two different things, and your physicality and your feedback, your ability to not dig too hard into the metal, to just apply the appropriate amount of force to the metal or the copper or the wood, you know, how to keep your rod straight, not squiggly, you know, how to straighten, how you might go about taking a piece of wibbly old copper wire and how you might straighten that.
What?
You know,
mm-hmm.
All of these things can be taken into consideration and dealt with in your mind and then executed physically. So you make the thing. So you've got your tetrahedron there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. How did you make the tetrahedron? Did you make, two equal sized tetrahedrons and then kind of glue them together?
Well, they're wired together, but, there's, you know, yeah. It's the two pyramids and then precisely stuck together. Cause otherwise, if I put exact cross lines in it, it'd just be a box.
Well, it is a cube.
It's rather interesting. Yeah, it's a cube.
It is a cube. They call it Metatron's cube.
Mm-hmm. But there's pieces that aren't in actually defining that. You know what I mean?
You will find that if you take a box, that your star tetrahedron will fit exactly into a cubic box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on its side right now. Looks just like it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's, and so when it's on its point and rotating, a cube becomes something magical. You see?
Just watching them build that, JP, was amazing because that's all it is. It does so much. And it's fun, just like it would be with the music that you play.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're making constructions out of material that is not necessarily, solid material.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vibratory material. So anyway, back to the pyramid. Cause there's so much to talk about with pyramids and you know, so much more than just your regular Egyptology or even this other esoteric Egyptology. Here's another thing. Did you know that there were two sphinxes?
Oh.
Because, no. And the other thing is, why would you have a lion? Cats are useless guards. You have dogs as guards, don't you?
Usually, China did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody has dogs as guards. Nobody has lions as guards, right? And the sphinx actually is the body of a dog. Exactly the body of a pharaoh dog. And so I believe that the other sphinx you'll find it'll have a broken off head, that it won't have a face carved into it. It'll be just a broken off head. And it's another dog's body. And it's the same shape as a pharaoh dog. The lions have got stumpy fingers, stumpy paws,
mm-hmm.
legs. The sphinx has these massive front legs, massive back legs. It's a dog. It's a pharaoh dog. It's exactly the same as a pharaoh dog. So, there are two sphinxes and they're dogs. I got some weird ideas, but they all make sense. Don't they? Mona. Mona?
I'm here.
Where did you go?
I'm here.
I said you I got some weird ideas, but they all make sense. So.
But yeah, it's actually your whole, I think sometimes we get to a certain level through the harmonics of finding some joy and certain things come up that might think, but you worked it out. See, a lot of other people would have ignored it and it would have bothered them until they...
Well, you know, like I say, I like to go all the way down to the end of the road. See what it's mm-hmm. like. You know, don't have any
yeah, one of my favorite tools was always a compass and a straight edge and that, because it is. It's all part of the pie, right?
Mm. Yeah, so, pie. Pi and Phi,
mm-hmm.
Fibonacci, and Pythagoras.
Are they anywhere near Orion?
Orion? I don't know. He might be down the pub. I hope actually soon to have a new Wolf Spirit Radio producer who's actually an O'Reilly. Not an Orion, but he's an O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Sean O'Reilly. So just putting it. Previous little shout out to them, to him. Any question from the chat room? Let me just see, let me just check on the Wolf Spirit chat room. There's one in Romania. What is Romania?
A Sphinx.
A Sphinx, that's right. It's very, It's, you know, it's very, busted up. It may be a cat, who knows? It's not in the same position in front of the pyramid so much, is it? I mean, I don't think
Did he send you a picture? And
I've seen the Romanian Sphinx, so you know.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully that we'll get Dr. Semir Osmanagic onto Strange Universe, and I can talk
to him
while Sean is flying, and we can talk pyramids. We can talk the biggest kin pyramid in the world. This is the Pyramid of the Sun in Bosnia, which is like it's a small mountain.
Now, what would we do if all of a sudden the things that got buried just really ended up exposed? Do you think people'd freak?
Well, this is part of the story, and I think perhaps they've even pre-buried things. This part of the story of the false awakening is that earthquakes uncover artifacts that disproves biblical stories. And things like that, so that it can destroy religion. That's one of the prophecies, or not one of the prophecies. It's one of the plans of the Dark Lodge, is to actually, you know, they've pre-planted artifacts that will be uncovered by earthquakes in the future.
Hmm.
Just something to consider that might be the case when you start hearing about things coming out. Now, a few years ago, I had a conversation with Stuart Swerdlow, and he went out to the Bosnian Pyramid and said, in one of the chambers, they even found a baby reptile that flew out of the chamber and flew out of the pyramid.
Interesting.
We called it the baby dragon.
Nobody I don't doubt it.
Nobody heard anything about it after that. Pharaoh dog cage. You can crochet it.
I love it.
Crochet it from monofilament steel.
We're making chainmail of some kind.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. You could wonder what Mirthling. See what happens if you crochet with guitar strings or some metal.
I think it'd be kind of difficult because I've had many musicians donate their old strings to me thinking I could twist it and make the trees and that out of it. There is no way.
Yeah, because it's bronze. It's not copper.
It's a different,
It goes sprawling back to where you left it. Mm-hmm. Back to where you left it, you know. Bend it hard. Yeah. And it's very boing, 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 boing. It's very flexible, very resonant. That's the steel in it. It's like a bell. It's a bit too bright and brittle to take a form so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway. Malleable forms and metal. Let's talk about metal on your pyramid. If you are considering building a pyramid, and you're trying to get to those higher dimensions, you don't want to use base metals. So that's why we use copper and tin and brass, not so much iron, no aluminium. Silver, if you got it. Good metals, noble metals.
Well, I'm not thinking of one you could sit in with those.
I am. Well, these are things I'm talking about, right? Big, big fellows. But, generally copper and brass fittings with, works, you know, copper and copper fittings. Now to make a basic one, the problem with making these things are the joints at the tops and the corners, you know?
Because of the angle.
Because of the angle, and then how do you make them fit together, and how do you make it strong? So one idea, is basically you get a nice fat block of bronze, or of some alloy or something, and you get somebody to drill accurately into it. And then maybe you can, you know, get these manufactured. And so you'd have a little sort of pyramid shaped one with four holes in the bottom of it, that is, serves as a capstone. And then you'd have four little ones, that go around the edges and they form the corner joints. There is a fellow in India on eBay who has made up these things and you can buy them. And so all you need to do is buy your own local copper, in the tubing form and, schlep, you know, poke them in and boom, you've got your pyramid.
You don't have a link for that, do you?
I could, well, have a little, tell me about what you think that might be while I have a look, okay? How, you know, what do you think that would do for you?
Oh, it would probably be an emulsifier, so if I felt like I needed to send out prayers, boy, could you imagine what it would do for me? Oh, geez, that's all I'd want to think about doing is putting out some harmonics for everybody else, because I like people happy. I want them being more in joy and realizing we are in a blessed life here, and it's up to us on how we make it. Through all these different things, the art, the music, but when we take control, then we have a better reality out of it, actually. So, no, I just like all this stuff. I've always liked all this stuff.
All right, well, here's a lovely one. Ah, that looks nice. I wonder if that's still for sale. So here is on Etsy, you get a compass, you get a copper pyramid, a copper capstone, and four beautifully made, this is Australia. And so for the delicious price of $140 Australian, you get the copper corner connectors, copper capstone, crystal, and a compass. Ah, but ships worldwide from India. So this must be the Indian guy. So, I'm going to pop that in there for you. Yeah. And I'm going to pop this into the, Wolf Spirit chat room. There we go. You're talking about pickles and tarts, right?
Hey. No, I wasn't talking about pickles and tarts, but that's okay. Wolf Spirit.
In Wolf Spirit Radio, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Howdy, y'all.
And where are we? We need to go to the Radio Revolution Radio chat room. There we go.
That's neat.
Yeah, so it's rather beautiful, isn't it? And that takes all of the difficulty out of the problem, because you just need to buy some copper tubing, or in fact any tubing you like, as long as it's the right diameter. You could even use titanium. You could paint it. That is a rather lovely. I love it. That's now this is Elta. Was that 3/8 inch kit? So it's not as large as you might think. This guy has got some good stuff.
Well, it would have to be the size that's there, and that looks like it's a good 4 foot base.
All right. Well, here's the half inch type, which is 168 Australian dollars. There you go. See if anybody is interested.
Yeah,
in this.
I couldn't even do it because I don't even have a bank account.
Well, I'm sure you
I
could.
Had to have no ownership of financial.
So yes, indeed.
Very folk.
Well, yeah. So it's very.
That's really neat.
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it?
And yeah. I've seen those corners like that, so I wonder if I went to my local hardware store if I might even find that, because they make actually tents like that. I wonder what it would be to get the whole tent.
All right, so there's loads. So there's a copper geyser light duty 6 foot. They got lots of nice things. Yeah, so they got.
Doesn't it seem short to you? Because look at the one on the right; it's got a much higher pitch.
Yeah, that's a pointy one. No, the one that seems short, the pyramid does look squat. That's the thing, that it is slightly squat. Okay, that's all. It's very, very slightly squat, and that's the tension of it. That creates
the vortex. Yeah, different capstones here too.
Yeah. So you see this guy, he's sitting on a cushion, and what he's got, he's got his sacral center at the King's Chamber position.
Yeah.
That's the right one.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I wonder if you put it on the ground, or you were on the ground, if that would be alright to put your heart in that chamber.
Oh yeah. Oh absolutely. What one of the things you can do is you can put it up on blocks. You got your the massage table. Yeah? You put it up on blocks so that the massage table is inside it, and that you position it so that the person's heart is at the King's Chamber position.
Neat.
So you just block it up so that it's the feet are just a little bit below the level of the table.
So you just raise up
the pyramid, yeah, simple. Mm-hmm. Just block it up.
Isn't that cool?
Wooden stands or something, you know.
Yeah. But just to do one in paper first would be an interesting idea, because you really got a feel for this. Mm. It's not just something you can, because it takes a little bit of engineering, you know.
Mm. Well, you know, if you buy this kit, the engineering is minimal. You just have to measure the rods accurately and cut them accurately. And I would actually recommend a pipe cutter, a professional pipe cutter. They cost about $20. And, when you cut you can just exactly mark with a sharp blade where you're going to cut. You can put this blade exactly on the cut, and it clicks onto it and it rotates around it. It kind of locks on. It's like a little Pac-Man, and it kind of locks onto the pipe, and you turn the pipe, it'll bite right through it with a very nice soft edge not a cutty edge at all. So, yeah, you get one of those and that's all you'd need to cut up your copper. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And so, yeah, the other type is the Nubian type, which is this very tall fella.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. I like the other one.
Yeah, that's a different style.
Well, yeah. It seems uptight to me. I don't think you want to go in to get uptight. You're trying to relax.
Well, you know, these are, there are different things, you know.
Right.
There are stimulation and there are relaxation, you know.
Okay.
When I was making the pyramids as well, we were making meditation mats. And when we'd made the meditation mats, what they were, they consisted of a grid of 10 by 10 magnets, neodymium magnets, on a 10 by 10 copper tape grid. Right? The grid was in the form of a diamond.
Neat.
That had vesica piscis proportions.
Oh, I made one of those.
Okay, so, yeah, so you got your vesica piscis, and then inside that you lay your grid of 10 by 10 copper strips. And then on the join of each copper strip, you put a magnet, you glue a magnet. But if you're making the stimulating one, you have your alternate north-south. If you're okay. making a relaxing one, you have all south.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Well, makes sense.
So that's how the magnetic field in these things work. That to stimulate, you have the opposition, the tension again. Again, it's all about tension, psychic tension.
But it's then also the biorhythm.
Scalar
the
tension.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole different story. Scalar. Right. It's almost a dirty word, but it's not, because they've misused the words. Because to me, sometimes it just sounds dangerous. But it's beautiful. When scalar. The vibration goes and the sound happens, that's probably another word for that kind of energy. You know, where they have the plate and they add the noise and it harmonizes and makes like snowflake, but it's a sand vibration. It changes through the noise.
Are you talking about Chladni figures?
Something like that.
Yeah, kymatics.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah,
I was thinking that.
The word is chymoglyph. If you want to really go special on it, kymatics is the science of the visualization of sound, the manifestation of sound, and glyph is obviously a marking. You know, so. And what they found with specific frequencies make specific glyphs.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, in Roslyn Chapel, and you can Google this, Google the words Roslyn, R-O-S-S-L-Y-N, Motet, M-O-T-E-T. And what that is that all over Roslyn Chapel, all over the pillars, the edges of the pillars have got these little square, I've got the word. Little square things that stick out, like blocks that are kind of glued onto it. And on the front edge of each of those blocks is this little pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And what they discovered is that those patterns are actually the chymoglyph of specific notes. And if you play those specific notes in the order in which they appear on these pillars, then you have a tune. And it turns out the tune was a very special, I think it was a tune that the Protestants had banned or something, but, it actually turns out to be something rather, you know, kind of mundane, really. After all that search, you know, what is all this, all these little signs all over this church and all this,
it turns out to be this little tune. If they would have done it, maybe it could have actually opened up an inner key that they didn't know. You know, you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and all those little, things he had to encounter to save his life from being killed by the traps that were set up.
Yeah. So, let me just find Roslyn Motet. And, yeah, you can hear a little bit of it. It's quite beautiful.
Some of the most nicest chants have been in the chapel itself, because it carries the harmonics amazingly.
Mm.
Yeah, I've had people visit there and do it.
Yeah, check this out. Yeah, isn't it lovely?
I almost went to sleep.
Yeah, I know, very haunting. Haunting
yeah,
melodies.
Yeah, that too, it is. Yeah, it was too, you're right. I've walked into empty, quiet houses with that singing. They call it the cosmic choir. So when you do get to a certain level, it does actually come around you and you can sense to hear it. It's neat. I don't have it all the time, though. That'd be kind of interesting. You could actually find that at a concert.
So, meanwhile, back at Pyramids. I want to keep the place want to keep the place focused here. So we talked about metals. So we don't want to use aluminium so much, or iron so much, steel so much, because they're kind of, they're what they call kind of base metals. Mm-hmm. And you want to have something that is kind of noble, but the noble stuff like gold and copper and silver are all a bit malleable as well. And of course, you know, silver pipes would cost you a fortune.
Right. Mm. Well, gold would.
Mm. Well, what we do is you take the gold, you could take the copper pipe and get it gold plated. Still cost a fortune, but still not as fortune as like getting it plated, you know, getting it made of solid gold. And it would also be very, very heavy if it was made of solid gold. It's a, so making them out of copper, and you can like paint them, or even, you know, paint them with gold paint. That works as well. That forms a kind of gold organite layer. And I suppose, you know, now we're looking at all this plasma stuff with Kesh and all these things. We can look at the coatings of things to be somehow more significant than just a decorative layer. You know what I mean?
I agree. But the shungite's eating the silver and exposing the copper. It's really interesting.
What? In what?
Got the pendants from Nancy.
Yeah? What happened?
Well, it's like the shungite likes to enjoy and introduce and take the silver off of the wire that is copper. It's beautiful. It's really neat how it's transpiring. Because the silver isn't coming off. I mean, Nancy wouldn't buy crap metal, and she's finding that the shungite's actually ingesting or absorbing silver.
Well, it's certainly when, I remember like right here, you know, months and months ago, we were talking about, oh, shungite's amazing stuff. What does it do? And somebody said, oh, what would happen if you, put shungite into colloidal silver? And I said, well, I would think that it would start absorbing the silver. And that turns out to be exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So very good.
So, it is interesting. A lot of things are transposing, because isn't the harmonic, I know it was 432, but if you go, is it higher in number, it gets more horrifying than, it's like the alkalized or acid or alkaline.
Do you know a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, Mona? So
sometimes,
look.
Yeah, right?
So look. In 1936, Joseph Goebbels, through the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, in their travels, they went around, with a slightly raised pitch of musical instrument. Their instruments were, as you could say, highly strung. They made them, slightly more tense.
Mm-hmm.
And, that brought the natural harmonic heart frequency of 432 up to 440. It's only 8. Doesn't seem like much. You know, that's only a tiny flap of skin. Doesn't seem like much. Anyway, so you never know what you do when you make a tiny adjustment. And what this has done is produce music that makes everybody slightly anxious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easy to freak people out, because if people are slightly anxious, then they're not going to be relaxed, and they're not going to be in that cheerful, humorous, happy-go-lucky space. And especially if you dry them out. You know, like Sean was talking about Ramadan being, you know, in summer, Ramadan is bad news because you've got so much heat and you can't drink anything. And if you're dehydrated, you get grumpy.
Exactly.
So, what could go wrong? Department 347. So, okay, so meanwhile, building your pyramids out of aluminium, not a good idea. Although it's quite, you know, quite rigid. Its energy is not right. But if you just want a pyramid for the sake of pyramids and you're not using it for ascension purposes, then probably an aluminium one wouldn't do you too much harm. It depends on your state of evolution. Because at certain phases of evolution, you're going to be more sensitive to it. You know, sometimes you just need a pyramid. Sometimes you need a gold pyramid. You see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes it's like the precise, well, you know, sometimes you're going to need a butcher's knife. Sometimes you're going to need a scalpel.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, you could probably even use PVC. I know it doesn't sound right, but, you know, it's pretty sturdy. And
something I've been thinking about, actually. And, you know, the other thing I've been thinking about was, okay, so I could take my PVC pipes, and what if I filled them with some sort of resin organite type?
Oh, way cool.
stuff. It would make it bloody heavy, you know. Resin is heavy. Hairy stuff. But one could fill the pipes with crystals and resin, you know.
That's a lot of crystals.
There's a lot of crystals.
Yeah, I get you.
And again, it would be heavy. But, you know, you'd have some kind of glowing little white pyramid. That's actually going to be my first approach, actually. I'm going to buy some PVC piping and make pyramids out of that. So I'll probably make a video.
Cool.
And, you know, show my hints and tips how to make. So, hint and tip number one, your pyramid angle. All right, let's talk about some geometry. Your pyramid angles. The side of your standard pyramid is 51 degrees, 51 minutes. That's like nearly 52 degrees with a shaved hair. Thing is, that's, you're not going to be measuring that unless you're going to be making out of, boards. So most of the time you're going to be, making them out of sticks. So here's the easy thing. And I might actually make a little sort of booklet or something, a little e-booklet and sell it. Or maybe even give it away. No, maybe I'll sell it. That's a good idea. Do some work. I don't think people pay me for it.
There you go.
I don't have to do everything for free.
Right.
So what you do is, it's actually, you measure 96% of the base. So, you know, more or less to the degree of accuracy that any regular human can get, sawing pipe with a hacksaw and, you know, gluing them on or whatever you're going to be doing with them. For all intents and purposes, you can get away with 28 degrees on one, 22 degrees on the other. I think that's right. Did I say 28? No, what I'm talking about. 48 and 42. You take your ends of the rods, you cut them to 96% of the length of the side of the base. So you got, say you're 7 foot 6 is 90 inches. Okay. And then you take 95% of that, which is like 85 inches, let's say. I don't know. Not accurate, but doesn't matter. You can figure it out. And then you cut the bottom end of that at 42 degrees and the top end of that at 48 degrees. And that's where you make your top, your apex. This is the difficult bit, is making the apex joint. Because you actually have to make something that doesn't exist in, you know, plumbing supplies. At least with plumbing supplies, you can get a right angled corner for your pipe.
Well, that's why they kind of did the capstone the way they did, I think.
Yeah.
But see, we were talking about the three-sided or three-base, and now the ones that you're talking about making is a four-base.
Yeah, this one I've been talking about all the time. You're talking about tetrahedrons.
Okay.
I'm talking about pyramids. Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now, making a tetrahedron is kind of easier. You know, if you want to make a tetrahedron, because I made those as well. In fact, I made star tetrahedrons, and I would make them out of bronze welding wire, and they would be part of a framework that would be jammed on the end of a 9-inch crystal.
Wow.
Lab-grown, pure, clear quartz, 9-inch crystal. And so, yeah, they would be gold-plated as well. They were really cool. So you have a star tetrahedron at one end and maybe a globe shape at the other, or a square, or I think other things. All sorts of things. Some of them look like the prince. Look like the prince's thing. So, so when you got your star tetrahedron, now, if you want to make star tetrahedrons, they're hard to sit in because they're pointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you do? You'd have to kind of suspend it from a great big, well, maybe you'd have to suspend it from a pyramid.
It's really not that hard of a base, but right.
Mm. So,
I've seen them. They're really cool.
Yeah. And well, if you need to make it really sturdy to be able mm-hmm. to sit into, and obviously you wouldn't be able to make it out of copper. Because if you sat on a copper thing,
it
would
just fold
up. No, it
was fresh cut bamboo, actually.
Yeah. Well, that sort of stuff would be easy to work with, and it's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what are your joints made of? What are your corners made from?
They were just put together and held with inner tube ties. They were like, you know, tied together. Yeah, the video I put on your other wall, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, but I've been on air for the last 4 hours. I can't watch videos.
Well, darling, when you can look at it later.
Yeah, when maybe one day.
It's a really good video.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Showing that how it got made. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll probably make a YouTube video of how I made the pyramid, and I've made some years ago. So here's another way of making a pyramid, and this is the easy way to make a pyramid. The really, really easy way to make a pyramid is you don't make joints using plumbing supplies. What you do is you flatten the ends, drill hole in, bend them into little metal tabs, and then you bolt them together.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble is that makes a weak at the point where the pipe, you know, where it gets pinched, and those tabs eventually snap off, leaving you with a semi-useless seven stick pyramid. So that's the other way, and that actually makes a very easier to make pyramid, because, you know, you don't need any spare parts. Obviously there's tricks to it, because if you try to make a pyramid like that and you flatten two ends of the pipe and they weren't exactly in line, they won't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you know, it's simple, but it's not straightforward. Or rather, it's straightforward, but it's not simple.
Right.
So with everything that you're going to make, you have to jig. You have to make jigs to hold your pieces so that they're accurately drilled or pressed or squished or whatever. So most of the time I was, you know, spending making these things was actually making jigs to hold everything straight.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Mm-hmm. So where are we going to go? So we've done materials. So you don't, and solder, obviously you don't use your lead solder. You use your newfangled, silver solder or tin solder. It's copper and tin. It's, another alloy. It's not the same. It's not quite as shiny. It's kind of dull gray. Lead does actually look pretty and shiny and silvery.
Well, it does depend on the metal though, of what you're doing.
Well, I was saying, like, the lead solder is shiny.
Solder. Uh-huh.
Yeah, solder. Solder.
Well, it actually goes very matte, because I used to do stained glass, and you would wrap the copper, you'd have a strip of copper that you would wrap around the glass, mm-hmm. and then to put the pieces together, you would use the lead solder.
Yep. Yeah, so that's what I call copper foil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been using that copper foil to a very interesting use is, I use it for wiring. I send current down the copper foil.
Interesting. So, your LED things?
Yep. So neat. I've got these lamps that I've made that basically is a stick of wood, really rough stick of wood, with two pieces of copper foil roll, you know, down each edge. And it picks up the current, you know, I stick the current at the other end of the stick, into the little plug, takes into my 12 volt supply, and the other end is soldered to a light bulb, an LED light bulb. Yeah, these are all in my photos page. If you go to my photos on Facebook, I am j.p.000.000. And I got loads of albums, photos. There we go. There's LED Light Creations, I think, is one of them. That's the one with the crystals. No, that's a bit boring. Yeah, I've got all sorts of nice things on my photographs. No. Oh yeah, there we go. There we go. I found one. Yeah. I'll just pop that in there. If anybody can get to Facebook, there, Mona, you can have a look at that.
The rings that you have there that you did.
Rings?
There's a copper set of rings. 1, 2, 3 rings. 'Cause I've done that and I put trees, copper wired trees in the middle of it. It's really cool. Anyway,
three rings, the four rings. There's four
is
rings.
It four rings?
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're forming a tetrahedron.
One, two, three, four. Okay, well, did I do four rings? No, I did three rings when I made mine. So I'll have to keep in mind four rings. Yeah, it's a great one with you and the lion.
Yeah, so anyway, check that photograph. I'll just put it in the two chat rooms. He's electric.
My brother from another mutter. That's so cute.
What's that?
Well, I went to JP's photos, so I don't know. It looks like you might have had a photo here.
You're looking underneath the LED and electronic projects folder.
Okay.
Just before you get lost in the the blur of my page here on the, now I'm just, where did I put the chat room for Wolf Spirit Radio? Is it like, I got 150.
Oh, that is so neat. Look at all that.
What's that? Describe what you're looking at, Mona.
It's the piece of wood with the copper foil and the ring, or not rings, but they're circles with the little circuits on them.
All right. Okay, Craig's asking me a question. What was the crystal skull connection with the pyramids? Personally, I haven't had any contact with crystal skulls and pyramids. But Walt did do a journey, and at the bottom of one of these pyramids. Now, remember I said that, you know, there's a pyramid with the apex pointing up, and the pyramid with the apex pointing down the way.
Mm-hmm.
He went down to that lower point. And found that that lower point, there was a crystal skull.
Interesting.
So that's all I know. I don't know much. That's all I know.
Max was beautiful, though.
Hmm?
Max, the crystal skull was beautiful. It was an amazing skull to witness and hold.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. He's still talking. You're still talking about food, you guys. That clip wasn't broadcasted. Which bit? Oh. Which bit wasn't broadcasted, Chris Steiner? I'll see what happens. Maybe it didn't come over the Rustin stave. I see, it was quiet on that end. Yeah. Oh. Hang on. Let's just put, so we can hear some more of it. There we go. I'll just put that there. Oh yeah, this is the Roslyn Stave Angel Motet. That's now they're talking, that's the sound that is making a particular form, is a circle. Actually, it's a little sort of exaggerated form of what we're talking about, the pyramid shape, like a square with the slightly concave sides.
Anywho.
Yeah. So there we go. I just played a little bit of that there for you. So yeah, using your appropriate materials. One of the things I was thinking about is that if I make a PVC pyramid,
mm-hmm.
I could put my copper tape up the edges. And
right.
actually make a very fine metal pyramid that overlays the plastic one.
You could do some interesting copper spirals on the poles as well. What kind of magnification of what would happen from that?
Well, my girlfriend, Nikki, has actually made various spiral forms, and I've got them hanging up somewhere. I've got one that's hanging up in my 3D star at the moment. We've got a spiral form inside a Genesa crystal form,
mm-hmm.
inside a 3D star that's hanging on my ceiling. It's really quite cool.
But I mean, what kind of energy is in the source if you did it on the PVC pipe? Is that what conduit another kind of energy source?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But it's unlikely to be, it's probably likely to be like a retardant, rather than accelerator, but it may be that, a retardant might be appropriate. So let's see.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody knows until you build them what they're about and how they're
going to be. It'd be kind of interesting if you made your chicken coop, out of a pyramid and see how your chickens laid and did all that. How much extra energy your eggs would have.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, there's many things and ways. I know this stuff works and it could be for our benefit.
Mm-hmm. So now where were we? Uh-huh. How to make a cyclone dust collector for a vacuum cleaner at home.
Oh,
I love okay. YouTube. They give me suggestions based on my nerdiness. It's really great.
I know, right?
And Facebook sends me adverts that are really dependent on my nerdiness. It's great. I love it. I've trained the internet to recognize my nerditude.
There you go. I'm proud of you, JP.
I have a very strong nerditude.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I did a great show last Thursday. I've got a new show, which is about energy. And we're speaking about going off the grid.
Nice.
So anybody wants to tune in, that's on Thursday evening, Thursday evening here at, 1 p.m. Actually, it's the slot after your slot. So it's 11 okay. till 1 PST.
Cool. So, I'll have to tell Peter Kling he wants to get off the grid.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting show. This is Wynn Keach. And Wynn is an inventor. He's invented a new kind of wind turbine. Very, very efficient. Is also thinking about other ways of generating electricity for poor people. Third world subjects.
Well, just for humanity, we shouldn't even put a money value on what we can have or not. I mean, that's just despicable. I'd love to have some sideway wind things getting enough energy to power up some stuff. We got a lot of wind in this area. That would really do it. And be able to, the solar, that'd be interesting too.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's not quite as simple as like, oh, I stick a pole up and the fan at the top and I'll have light.
Oh, I know.
It's quite complex and,
I'm very engineerically. Yeah.
You have to learn. There's a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like any project like this, like the pyramid project, learning about the pyramid projects teaches you about all kinds of different topics and different subjects.
Mm-hmm. I think I was a clockmaker in a past life.
Really?
Well, yeah, I really do. I saw the Chinese ones and they were so exquisite. The ancient clocks and stuff that they made, the mechanics of it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pyramid, so cool.
So, So.
But I also like the number, because I like numerology to a certain extent. And four is the foundation of anything that you do. Is there a four in your tones, in your notes of your music?
Well, there's the fourth, which is the fifth down. The fourth note of your scale, is going down the fifth as well as, you know, it's the opposite. It's just a similar, it's a similar harmonic.
Just a different energy.
Yeah. Well, it's another harmonic of the same frequencies. You see, that's the way it all works. All works as harmonics. That's the scale, you know, you do 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 do. It's not random. It's geometric. The relationship between all those notes is geometric.
Wave. Right?
Wave.
Wouldn't it be a wave?
No. Geometric.
No?
Like that relationship between two and three that I did demonstrated earlier with the guitar.
Okay, right.
That's what I mean by geometric.
And, yeah,
you know, you can build your forms with that, you know, your form of the tetrahedron or the form of the square or the cube or whatever. It's all geometric. And if you do it along those lines, I mean, triangles really tessellate nicely. So you can make very complex tetrahedral forms. I've got one hanging up in my living room. It's very complex. It's like if you manage to merge... five tetrahedrons.
Oh.
Yeah. Sort of three together, sort of sitting on a plane, and then one on top to make a big tetrahedron, slightly overlapping, and then one in the middle turned upside down.
Is there an equal thing on the periodic table for that?
I don't know what it is, but it may be. We call it the 3D star.
Cool.
It's a beautiful thing.
Because it could almost be like a salt crystal or something in the way that it grows.
Yeah, it could well be that sort of a natural geometric form frequency. So, thanks very much, Mona.
Been good. Thank you, darling.
Bless y'all.
Stay safe, okay?
Good night, everybody. This is JP. This is Journeys with JP. I'll be back. I'll be back on Thursday to... hopefully interview some pyramid people. It's pyramid week here on Revolution Radio. Good night, everybody.
And Will Spirit. Thank you.